Великий подвиг поколения победителей вдохновляет воинов, выполняющих сегодня задачи специальной военной операции. Они противостоят агрессивной силе, которая вооружается и поддерживается всем блоком НАТО. И несмотря на это, наши герои идут вперед.
This is my video update on this Saturday afternoon, May the 9th, coming to you from Athens, Greece. Let's talk about some news. And before we jump into today's news, I want to wish everybody a happy May 9th, happy Victory Day. Zden Pabedi. And let's not forget the sacrifice that the Soviet Union and 27 million soldiers and families made in order to free us from the fascist forces during World War II. So let's talk about some news, and we'll start things off with the May 9th Victory Day Parade, the parades that took place all over Russia and all over the world, actually. Many, many celebrations and many parades that are taking place all over the world to commemorate Victory Day. But the big parade, of course, is in Red Square in Moscow. And it was good to see Fico in Moscow, the leader of Slovakia, the only leader in the European Union who made the trip to Moscow, blocked by many EU member states. His travel to Moscow was made difficult by many EU member states. So he had to take alternative routes to get to Russia. But Fico said that he believes the war in Ukraine is coming to an end. That is what Fico said. Russian President Vladimir Putin gave his speech at the parade in Red Square. I would say the one notable statement from the Russian president, he made many, many interesting statements, but the one that really stood out for me was when Putin said that the Russian military is fighting an aggressive enemy in the special military operation, which is backed by NATO, by the entire NATO bloc. Our fighters in Ukraine are confronting an aggressive force backed by the entire NATO bloc. And despite this, they continue to advance. Backed by the entire NATO bloc, that would include the United States, when he says backed by the entire NATO bloc. So I found that to be a statement from the Russian president that caught my attention. So how about the threat of drone strikes into Moscow? Ukraine, the collective West, NATO and the United States launching drone strikes into Moscow, disrupting the May 9th Victory Day parade. A ceasefire was called by Russia for May the 8th, 9th, and 10th. And yesterday, the collective West and Ukraine, they decided to not adhere to Russia's ceasefire for May the 8th, and they launched a massive drone strike throughout into all of Russia, including Moscow, about 270 drones were launched into Russia on May the 8th. And we were waiting to see what's going to happen today on May the 9th, after the Russian military and the Russian foreign ministry issued the strongest statements to Ukraine and to the collective West, that if they strike Moscow, if they decide to disrupt the Victory Day parade, then attacks would be launched into the center of Kiev. And they issued a warning for Western diplomats, collective West, EU diplomats, to evacuate Kiev in anticipation of some sort of a strike into Moscow on May 9th. And we did not get any strike into Moscow. Everything with regards to the parade went off without any disruptions. And the reason for this is because of one U.S. President, Donald J. Trump. Yesterday evening, Trump announced some very big news. He announced that he had brokered a ceasefire between Russia and Ukraine for May the 9th, May the 10th, and for May the 11th, a U.S.-mediated and brokered ceasefire. Trump announced this on Truth Social. He also announced a prisoner swap of 1,000 prisoners between both countries. Trump said that he had spoken to the Russian side, he had spoken to the Ukrainian side, and they were all on board for the U.S.-mediated ceasefire for these 3 days. They agreed to the prisoner swap. And this was confirmed, this mediated ceasefire by the Trump administration was confirmed by Ukraine and by Russia. Both countries issued statements saying that the United States has indeed contacted them and they agree to Trump's mediated ceasefire for the 8th, the 9th, for the 9th, the 10th, and the 11th. So here is what Trump posted on Truth Social. I am pleased to announce that there will be a 3-day ceasefire, May 8, May 9, 10, and 11, in the war between Russia and Ukraine. The celebration in Russia is for Victory Day, but likewise in Ukraine, because they were also a big part and factor of World War II. This ceasefire will include a suspension of all kinetic activity and also a prison swap of 1,000 prisoners from each country. This request was made directly by me, and I very much appreciate its agreement by President Putin and President Zelensky. Hopefully, it is the beginning of the end of a very long, deadly, and hard-fought war. Talks are continuing on ending the major conflict, the biggest since World War II, and we are getting closer and closer every day. Thank you for your attention to this matter, President Donald J. Trump. And Ushakov, Putin's presidential aide, he issued a statement shortly after the Truth Social post was published, confirming that Russia accepts Trump's initiatives on a ceasefire with Ukraine from May the 9th to the 11th. RT ran with an article, posted an article with the title, Trump declares 3-day Russia-Ukraine ceasefire. Moscow and Kiev have confirmed the truce. A big diplomatic win for the United States and for President Trump. A very, very big win for Trump. Trump gets the credit for brokering a ceasefire, as I mentioned in many videos, and as I mentioned five minutes ago, Russia had declared a ceasefire from the 8th until the 10th, a ceasefire that was broken, well, that wasn't even adhered to by Ukraine and the collective West on the 8th. But Trump gets the ceasefire where both Russia and Ukraine will agree to, have agreed to, from today until the 11th. And the ceasefire did hold through the entirety of the parade in Red Square and in other regions. So Russia gets a prisoner swap, which is very good news. 1,000 prisoners will be coming home. They also got to hold the Victory Day parade. today without having to worry about Ukraine launching any attacks into Russia or into Moscow. Ukraine benefits from the prisoner swap as well. 1,000 prisoners will be returning to Ukraine. Zelensky doesn't have to worry about if he were going to send drones into Moscow or into Russia. He doesn't have to worry about any Russian retaliation into Kiev, nor does he have to deal with sending drones into Russia or into Moscow. And he got an off-ramp. He got a convenient off-ramp so that he can now say that there are going to be no attacks into Russia. He can also spin this off-ramp to his benefit. And it worked out well for Le Gobelin Vert. I mean, Trump really didn't have to pressure Zelensky. He probably just called Zelensky or his team called Ukraine. They contacted Ukrainian officials. And probably they were going to launch drones into Russia. I don't know if they were going to really test Russia's red lines and launch strikes into Moscow. But my sense was that they were going to definitely launch an attack into Russia on May the 9th, in much the same way that they launched attacks on May the 8th. Maybe they were going to send drones into Moscow. And when I mean Zelensky, Ukraine, I mean the United States. The United States, NATO, the collective West. And Trump changed his mind. The Trump administration probably decided, you know what? Let's not go there. Going off of the statements from the Russian military and everything that the Russian Ministry of Foreign Affairs stated over the past couple of days, if we do launch drones into Russia, they will probably launch strikes into the center of Kiev. This time around, they're not bluffing. I imagine the Trump White House came to this conclusion and they called off the strikes into Russia. That would be my guess as to how all of this unfolded. So they call off the strikes into Russia. They coordinate with Le Gobelin Vert about how they're going to present this and what script Le Gobelin Vert is going to read off of. And so they coordinate everything with their puppets, their proxy in Ukraine. And all that's left is to contact Russia and to contact Putin. And that's what they did. They contacted Putin and Putin went along with it. By going along with it, he gets 1,000 prisoners and he gets to hold Victory Day without any worries or any fears about drones hitting Moscow or hitting other parts of Russia. And Trump comes out the big winner. Trump solidifies his narrative that the U.S. is a neutral mediator. The neutral mediator in this conflict. The big winner is without a doubt the United States and Trump. Very, very well played. Especially when you take into consideration that the neutral mediator just a couple of days ago sold 300 million plus in bombs to Ukraine. That was just 2 days ago. And the United States and NATO, they continue to send drones into Russia, or at least over the past, let's say, over the past month, pretty much on a daily basis. They have been sending drones into Russia, all over Russia. Drones coming in from the south, drones hitting the Black Sea, drones coming in from European airspace, drones hitting Moscow, drones hitting St. Petersburg, drones smashing energy facilities, gas facilities, oil facilities, drones hitting Tuapse, the facility in Tuapse, 4 times in 1 week. NATO and the United States, the collective West, over the past month or two, They have been dismantling whatever remains of Russia's deterrence. And so all of this has been happening for 1 month now, and we get to a very dangerous point on the eve of May 9th, where Russia issues a very strong statement. The Russian Ministry of Defense, the military, issues this statement about hitting the center of Kiev. And Trump pulls out a big victory. He pulls out a big diplomatic win in all of this. And I imagine that in the next couple of weeks, or maybe in the next month or so, what we will see is Witkoff and Kushner traveling to Moscow very, very late at night. Putin staying up to meet with Witkoff and Kushner. They will sit down for talks, and Putin's going to explain to them the root causes of the conflict in Ukraine. And they will leave at 5-6 in the morning. Putin will have pulled an all-nighter, and I imagine we're going to get to that stage again, to that scenario. Keep in mind, Ushakov just yesterday was talking about how diplomacy between Russia and the United States and Ukraine has pretty much stalled. So forget about everything that Ushakov said yesterday. I talked about this in my video update. Forget about all of that. Obviously, the United States, when they come calling and when they need favors from Russia, when they need Russia to do stuff, Putin accommodates Trump, no doubt about it. So I talked about Zelensky and the collective West spinning this in their favor, and that is exactly what Zelensky has done. Zelensky put out a statement saying that after the ceasefire was announced, after he agreed to the ceasefire from the United States, Zelensky said that he will allow Russia and Putin to hold a Victory Day parade. That was his statement. For the duration of the parade, beginning at 10 a.m. Kiev time on May 9th, 2026, the area of Red Square shall be excluded from the plan for the use of Ukrainian weapons. The declaration reads, it also includes the precise coordinates of Moscow's Red Square. They were concerned about one specific square, and now as part of the diplomatic process, permission has been granted to hold a parade in that square, an official from the presidential office told reporters. So that's the declaration, the statement that was prepared by the collective West and handed to Ukraine so they can read it in order to spin this in their favor, the information war, to spin all of this in the favor of Zelensky, mocking Russia as well by saying we will allow them to hold the parade in Red Square. Zelensky also said that Red Square is less important to us than the lives of Ukrainian prisoners who can be brought home, in reference to the prisoner swap. Peskov replied to the statement from Ukraine, from Zelensky, by saying, "Woe to anyone who tries to make light of Victory Day. That's their problem," he said in response. "And we don't need anyone's permission," Peskov added. That was the Kremlin's response to this script that Ukraine, that Zelensky's office read out, a script that was no doubt prepared by NATO and the collective West, so that they got on the same page. They had to coordinate and get on the same page with regards to Trump's ceasefire initiative. All that was needed was to get Putin's buy-in, and Putin gave it. So, Peskov's statements. What do you guys think of Peskov's statements? A good reply to Zelensky? I think it needed more oomph. That's what I think it needed. You know, Russia needs to hire the legal guys. They need to hire the Iranian legal guys so they can get their information war to a better level. That's what they need to do. Outsource it. Outsource your info war, outsource your media campaign to the Lego guys. Hire them, pay them whatever monthly fee they ask for, and start getting your information war to the Iranian level. So that's an update there. And let's discuss the sanctions on China that the U.S. announced today. The Treasury Department, they are announcing sanctions on various Chinese companies that they accuse of aiding Iran's weapon sector. 10 companies and individuals in total, including several in China and Hong Kong. The Treasury move, first reported by Reuters, comes days before U.S. President Trump plans to travel to China for a meeting with Xi, and as efforts to end the war with Iran have stalled. So that's what these sanctions are all about. It's all about Trump getting some more leverage days before he travels to Beijing. Something tells me that China and Xi Jinping are not going to be happy with this move from Trump, but it's classic. Classic Trump, the art of the deal, where he is always trying to gain leverage before any talks or negotiations. Maybe in business it works, but in politics and geopolitics and foreign policy, stuff like that usually backfires. I think it'll backfire in the case of China. It is definitely backfiring in the case of Iran. With Russia, doesn't backfire. I think Trump's technique in dealing with Putin so far has proven to keep Putin off balance. No doubt about it. Trump is able to keep Putin very much off balance, and he's able to extract favors from Putin when he needs them, while at the same time positioning the United States as the mediator, while at the same time launching attacks into the Russian Federation. So Iran does not like when Trump tries to use these techniques to gain leverage over them as they are trying to negotiate some sort of an end to the war. And the foreign minister of Iran, Araghchi, said as much in a post on X published yesterday. Araghchi said, "Every time a diplomatic solution is on the table, the U.S. opts for a reckless military adventure. Is it a crude pressure tactic or the result of a spoiler, once again duping POTUS into another quagmire? Whatever the cause is, outcome is the same. Iranians never bow to pressure." And Araghchi attached a letter, a statement that he made on the 8th of May, 2026, where he addresses the CIA claims on Iranian inventory, weapons inventory, and the readiness of the Iran military. Let me read you what Araghchi posted in the statement. "The CIA is wrong. Our missile inventory and launcher capacity are not at 75% compared to February 28th. The correct figure is 120%. As for our readiness to defend our people, 1,000%. So that was added to this post as an attachment. So that's the complete statement from Araghchi. So Iran is not happy with the fact that they're negotiating with the Trump administration. The negotiations with Pakistan as the mediator appear to be moving in the right direction. At least that's how it appears, though very slowly. But every time some sort of progress appears to be made, the United States escalates. They escalate, they threaten, they hit Iran, and then they want to extract more beneficial terms from Iran. And that's been the technique of how Trump has been negotiating with Iran, and they don't like it. They do not like it at all. As far as their missile inventory, Arachi says 120 is the correct figure. The U.S. inventory on missiles and Patriot interceptors completely depleted. This is according to U.S. media. They actually ran an article. I think this is from the NYT, either the NYT or the Washington Post, where they are revealing that U.S. stockpiles are burned through. That's the words that they are using. They have burned through an enormous amount of defense missiles in the Iran war. And production, they say, is very slow. But the United States continues to sell weapons, especially to the Gulf states. They are selling tons of Patriot interceptor missiles. The problem that the Gulf states have is that these contracts are going to need years to be fulfilled, because at the moment, the U.S. doesn't have the inventory to send to the Gulf states. And whatever inventory they do have will get sent to Israel. That would be my guess. Second in line would probably be the UAE to get whatever Patriot missiles the United States has, or whatever interceptors are rolling off the production lines. But the Gulf states are buying $17 billion worth of missiles and missile contracts, which will take 2 to 3 to 4 to 5 years to actually get those missiles delivered to the Gulf nations. By then, who knows what the situation will be in the Gulf? Who knows what the situation will be vis-a-vis Iran? But the military-industrial complex is making big money. We're talking big money. So I want to talk about the release of the UFO documents. I also want to discuss today's clown world. But let's see if we can enter the church, or at least if I can film just a little bit of the church. Tickets inside the Holy Trinity. Holy Trinity Church is the largest Byzantine monument in Athens. Beneath the church lies an ancient Roman baths about 2,000 years old. You will see the program in Russian as well. What's this?
Are you one of the hosts of the Duran Show?
Yes, I am.
Ah, really cool. Really nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
I really like the show.
Cool. Thanks. You don't mind if your voice is in
no.
here? I may have even caught you.
That's great.
It's okay? Okay. Just wanted to make sure. Beautiful church. Yeah. Check it out. Definitely. Okay. Let's talk about the UFO documents that were released by the Pentagon. About 167 or 177 documents, videos, images from the Pentagon, all connected to UFOs. My understanding of the documents that were released is that if you're very into the whole UFO thing, I'm not, but if you do follow closely the UFO sightings and stuff like that, then these documents are really nothing revealing. No big news, no big revelations. If you don't follow the UFO stuff, then my understanding is that you'll see these videos and these images, and they could be interesting. They could pique your interest. But the post from Trump I found announcing the release of these documents, I found Trump's post on Truth Social to be revealing. Trump posted, "As for my promise to you, the Department of War has released the first tranche of the UFO UAP files to the public for their review and study in an effort for complete and maximum transparency. It was my honor to direct my administration to identify and provide government files related to alien and extraterrestrial life, unidentified aerial phenomenon, and unidentified flying objects, whereas previous administrations have failed to be transparent on this subject. With these new documents and videos, the people will decide for themselves what the hell is going on. Have fun and enjoy, President Donald J. Trump." Have fun and enjoy. I like that line. Have fun with the distraction and enjoy the distraction of UFOs and aliens. While we make tons of money, gobs and gobs of money, trading oil shorts, betting on oil price fluctuations. You look at your alien images. We'll be clearing $1 billion a day on the betting markets. Oh boy. And continuing our multiple wars as well. So anyway, that was Trump's post on Truth Social. Interesting news with the UFO document release. A lot of people talking about it. So let's do a clown world, and we can wrap up today's video. And it is not only Victory Day today. It is also Europe Day. Yeah, it's Europe Day. Europe Day. What's that? It's Europe Day today. Yep, today is the day of Europe. Ursula even put out a video to announce Europe Day, to celebrate Europe Day. Ursula posted on X along with her video, "It's Europe Day. Today we celebrate all that Europe stands for. And we celebrate all of us, the citizens of Europe, because all together we are Europe. Happy Europe Day." So what is Europe Day, May 9th? Well, Europe Day was a holiday that Ursula and the EU created to try and take away from May 9th, Victory Day. That's what Europe Day is all about. Yeah, the globalist elite. They don't like today. Today is not a good day for many globalist elite. But they created Europe Day on May the 9th in order to compete with Victory Day. By the way, Ursula got completely smashed in the comments on X with her video and her announcement of Europe Day. It was brutal. Definitely check it out and read the comments from this post from Ursula. she got demolished. People aren't buying into Europe Day. They're not buying into it. Nope. But what is Europe Day? How did they come up with this holiday? I did a little bit of research. And the way they came up with Europe Day on May the 9th is that they're basing it on the Schuman Declaration. What's that, you may ask? What is the Schuman Declaration? Who is Schuman? The Schuman Declaration from May the 9th, 1950, presented by French Foreign Minister Robert Schuman. It proposed the creation of a European coal and steel community whose members would pool coal and steel production. So basically they're saying that today is the...
Nice to see you. Welcome home.
Thank you, man. Good to be home. So, today is the day where Schuman proposed pooling together Europe's coal and steel. And the thinking was that if Europe pools together their coal and steel, then it would be less likely that countries in Europe would go to war. They would not have anything to benefit from if they decided to go to war with one another, because their businesses, their coal and steel, their resources are pooled together. And many years later, this actually formed into the beginnings of what would eventually become the blob, the machine that we know as the European Union. So that's what they base this holiday on. Europe Day. Okay. Europe Day. So let's do one more clown world and we can wrap up today's video from Syntagma Square in Athens. Lots of people walking around. The Parliament building in the center of Athens. This is downtown center of Athens. Syntagma on this end. If you walk straight down that way, maybe about 10, 15 minutes, you get to Omonia. Those are the two main downtown points in Athens. So one more clown world. And we turn our attention to 008, Sir Keir Starmer, the man who refuses to step down as British Prime Minister, even after his party got absolutely pummeled, humiliated, embarrassed in the elections that took place on Thursday. Keir Starmer is defiant. He will not back down. As Tom Petty once sang, "I won't back down." I won't back down. That is Keir Starmer's battle cry. I won't back down. He will remain as Prime Minister, and he announced on The Guardian in an article that he claims he wrote for The Guardian, he is going to remain as Prime Minister, and he is going to shake things up. There are going to be changes. Keir Starmer is announcing enough of the status quo. He is now going to shake up the status quo. The Hotel Grand Britain, one of the best hotels in Athens, a historic hotel. So, the article from Keir Starmer. These election results don't mean tacking left or right, but delivering for the whole country. In the coming days, I will be setting our path to break with the status quo once and for all by building a stronger and fairer UK. So how is Keir Starmer going to break the status quo, you might ask? How is he going to break the status quo globalist grip on the UK? The revolutionary defiant. Let's go down there. Keir Starmer, how is he going to do this? Well, he is going to do this by continuing to support Le Gobelin Vert and continuing to support the European Union. It's not a joke. I'm not making any of this up. Not at all. Yep. Who's he trying to fool? Who are you trying to fool here, Stomber, with this nonsense? So I'm going to shake up the status quo by pretty much doing what I've been doing over the past year and a half that has brought misery and catastrophe to the United Kingdom. But that's how I'm going to break up the status quo, by not changing anything. And then gaslighting you into believing that I'm changing something. So let me read you just a small excerpt, short excerpt from Keir Starmer's article. His defiant revolutionary article. Keir Starmer's exciting. He is an exciting politician. Probably the most exciting politician of our generation. That's Keir Starmer, and I'm not exaggerating one bit. Okay, let me read you this excerpt. So this time, things will be different. We must break with the status quo once and for all by building a stronger and fairer country. A stronger country where family finances are not at the whim of tyrants such as Vladimir Putin. And where we stand shoulder to shoulder with our European allies to rebuild our defenses, grow our economy, and secure our future. That's right, Great Britain. That's right, people of UK. Keir Starmer is going to break with the status quo. He is going to smash the status quo by giving more money to Project Ukraine, by continuing to go after Putin, by giving more money to the military-industrial complex, and by continuing to reverse Brexit. Yeah. Revolutionary. Absolutely revolutionary from Sir Keir Starmer. That's the video, everybody. I forgot to say like, share, subscribe. Anyway, like the video. Please like the video. If you're not subscribed to this channel, please subscribe to this channel. Also, give this video a hype if you've got any hypes left. And go to the Durant Shop, pick up some merch. We have a special running, 30% off all t-shirts on the Durant Shop. Check us out on Substack as well. And I will see everybody tomorrow. All the links are in the description box down below, if I forgot to mention that. Take care, everyone.